Well, good morning, everyone.
I'm going to invite you to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We are focusing on moving onward for the Lord. Some of you remember the old hymn, Onward Christian Soldier, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. And that is that is our hope and that is our goal and our desire, that we are advancing the cause of Christ as we move into the new year, as we move forward. But it's not the new year. It's the God of the new year who will make all things new. And for some of us, it will be new life. And for some of us, it'll be a renewed life, maybe revival in our own lives. And so we move forward with that. Sarah and Liz's Aunt Frances is in the hospital, was in the hospital. She's nearing the end of her days here on earth. And what she is grateful for, she's grateful for the 96 years the Lord has given her. She's been a blessing to us and our family. She has been a blessing to the church. As I first came to church, she was part of our church in East Los Angeles. Her name is Frances, and she's been a prayer warrior. And at 96, she remembers each of us. She remembers even some of the prayer requests. And she asks different family members who come in. So she's very alert mentally. But there's a couple things health-wise that are slowing her down. But she asks, how are things going? And I said, well, you know, the devil hasn't given up, and he's not rolling over. And her daughter both chimed in, and they said he won't, because that's his job. And the reality is that we are in a spiritual battle. But unfortunately, here in this country, we're not in that battle where it's a fierce persecution. It is we have been lulled to sleep. And we have been finding ourselves in a very comfortable setting where we're just being lulled to sleep, like, you know, whatever your lullaby is to your children, you know, whatever it is, you know. And we're just being lulled to sleep, and we've been lulled to sleep. Now, this past week, chaos has happened in the world again. Chaos is happening in parts of our country. But the reality is, we have been in a spiritual battle since Satan was kicked out of heaven 6,000 plus years ago. The spiritual battle rages on. And you think I'm not being an alarmist. I'm being a biblicist, because that's what the Bible says. That we are in a spiritual battle. And how do we move forward? Well, as we come to this first chapter of the book of Joshua, some commentators have said that the book of Joshua, as they entered into the promised land, is symbolic of us entering in and possessing the victorious Christian life. And I would ask you to ask yourselves, have I been living victoriously? Have I been living the abundant life that God has called me to live? Have I been living a fruitful life? Have I seen God at work in and through my life, in presenting the gospel and planting the seed and watering the seed? Have I seen God's hand in my life at work? And so I want us to look at how God prepared Joshua and Israel to enter into this promised land. Now, we might ask ourselves, well, who is Joshua? Well, let's go back to Abraham. God called Abraham and promised him to go to a land that he was going to give to them. It took some years before they actually took possession. In fact, they spent, you know, quite a few years in Egypt, and they became slaves. And God delivered them through Moses. And he used Moses as his man to bring out the people. And they were to go straight across and into the promised land. But because of a lack of faith, because they looked at their circumstances, because they looked at the enemy, and they did not believe that God was stronger than their enemy, they backed away, except for two men. Two men said, no, we can do this. But they believed the story of the ten. Joshua and Caleb both said, we can do this. So they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Moses now has died, and Joshua is his successor. And it's upon Joshua now to take the people in, to possess the land that God had promised to them centuries before. And now God has promised you and I a victorious life. He has promised us to have a life that is fruitful, to provide a life that is abundant in spiritual blessings. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He says that he's given to us everything according to life and godliness. We have no need to be wanting spiritually. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not have a need that my God will not provide for. So we come here looking at this passage and seeing the issue of commitment. Al challenged the men about choices yesterday. We have a choice to, as Joshua said at the end of the book, he says, you choose for yourself, but me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And these choices come from a series of commitments that you and I need to make, series of choices that you and I need to make continually throughout our life. It's not just a one-time choice. It's not just a one-time commitment, but it's a continual onward, a continual reinforcing of that. And we come here looking at this. Let me read to you the first four verses. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land. Now, catch this. I want you to catch this. This is really important. To the land which I am giving you. In other words, the Lord has already secured it for us. To the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, when the wilderness is Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. I am giving you this. As we go into the new year, I want us to think about that. What the Lord has given to us and what the Lord is giving to us for the new year. We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to dig for it. It is ours. We must take it, appropriate it, and live it out. So we want to see five commitments here as we continue on in our daily life. And the first one is, we need to be committed to the Lord. Look at verse 5. Committed to the Lord. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. What is God's commitment to Joshua? What is God's commitment to Joshua? I have your back. I will be with you. I will protect you. I will take care of you. I will watch out for you. I will be with you. I'm not going to protect you. I'm not going to keep every bad or difficult thing away from you. But in the process of those, because he says, even though as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. And so we come with the idea, the understanding that God has bought in completely to us. He has fully given himself to us that we would live victoriously. Now you and I have a responsibility to do what? To be all in with him. And this is a problem in Christianity, especially in the Americas, because we have so many distractions that we're half in and half out. Well, show up if there's nothing else to do. Well, I got something else better to do. Well, you know, I had nothing to do, so I'll show up or I'll get involved. But don't ask too much of me. Just let me show my face. And he's saying here, I will open the doors to you. I will close the doors to you. I will be there supporting you. I'll be there to encourage you. I will be there to strengthen you. I'll be there to help you. Now, as we think about the new year, and as we think about the challenges that are facing the new year, some of you already have health challenges. Some of you have relational challenges. Some of you may have financial challenges. But you are not alone. Even if everybody runs the other way from you, God will be with you. And when God is with you, what did we say last week? That is the majority. Because he has no rival, no equal. There was no one who could thwart, or stop his plan. Think about in John chapter 6, He presented to them a teaching that you need to eat my body and drink my blood, speaking of the Lord's Supper. And people ran the other way. They thought this is off the wall teaching. They didn't understand it because they weren't spiritually minded. And Jesus turns to the apostles, and he says, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. This is John's commentary. Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Friends, when we think about deserting, when we think about taking a step back, when we think about walking away from God and his word, to whom will you go? Because Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Friends, that's the commitment you and I need starting today, if you're not there yet. Totally bought into the idea that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that God is our Father, that God watches out for us, that God will take care of us, that God is sufficient. We need to stick with him. So friends, commit yourself to the Lord. Sold out, bought in, totally committed to God. The second thing that we see here in Joshua is he's being commissioned to lead. Now, one of the things that we need to think about, a lot of times this passage is preached to leaders and about leadership. Friends, I want to challenge you to say, it's not just about leaders and leadership, it's about every Christian. Every Christian should be committed to the Lord. Every Christian should be committed to the second point, committed to carrying out the work of the Lord. Not only are we committed to the Lord, but we're committed to the work of the Lord also. You say, but that's obvious. Sometimes it is. For some people it is. Because there's others who, I'm committed to the Lord. Well, what are you doing for him today? Well, you know, I'm committed to the Lord. You know, I put my $10 in the offering. You know, I threw up a prayer for the church. Are you committed to the work of the Lord? He says here, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore their fathers to give them. In other words, Joshua, take the people of Israel, and you're going to enter into the promised land. You're going to enter in, even though 40 years before, they said the giants are there. The problems are too big. It's too overwhelming. It's too hard. He says, look, go in and give this people possession of the land. Our responsibility is to give possession to every believer of the victorious Christian life. We're to help them to take hold of prayer and the word. We're to help them take hold of being able to share the gospel, to be able to minister, to be able to love, to be transformed, to be renewed. But I want you to turn with me to Exodus 23. Exodus 23, verse 27. Now, this is God's promise to them as he's preparing them, setting them on the course to enter this promised land. Verse 27. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you so that you will drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. That was the promise of God to the people of Israel even before they blew it. And he says, take one step at a time and I will give you victory. Take two steps, take three steps, but as you take the steps of obedience, you will see me push back the enemy. You will see me push back the inhabitants. So when you come in, you will take possession of the land. Because if I do it all at once, it'll be overrun with wild animals and plants and all this stuff. He says, no, I'm going to allow you to step in. Friends, we need to take steps of obedience, even though circumstances tell us, don't do it. Even if our people around us are telling us, stop, you're crazy, you're a fanatic. You're getting carried away with this God stuff. Well, no, my God told me to do this. My God has asked me. My God has sent me into the neighborhood. My God has challenged me to go. I will drive them out is what God says. What are the obstacles you facing? What are the struggles you facing? Are you a procrastinator? Are you stubborn? Are you hard-headed? Are you mean-spirited? Or maybe your spouse is. Or maybe your children are difficult. Or maybe your parents just don't want to get it together. Friends, God will drive out the enemy. And in the spiritual battle, we must pray for spiritual victory, that God would deliver, God would save, God would transform, God would move in our families, in our church, in our communities. That's because we can't stay with the status quo. We can't stay with the status quo. We need to get up and get going with the work of God. Because when we are doing the work of God, God is present, God is at work, God is empowering, God is pushing back the darkness. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to walk in them." God's prepared them. Let's walk into those good works. Kindness, mercy, grace, provisions, helping, encouragement, exhortation even. So are you committed to the Lord? You need to be committed to his work. Point number three, come back with me to Joshua 1. You need to be committed to obeying the word of the Lord. Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Now, that phrase comes up three times here, and it comes up in Deuteronomy. Because God knows Joshua needs that encouragement. It's an ongoing battle. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Friends, be strong and courageous today. Be strong and courageous tomorrow. Be strong and courageous December 31st. And all the way between, be strong and courageous. Why? Because we have God with us. He says, only be strong and courageous, very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from the left, to the right, or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Friends, get into the Word of God. Get into reading the Word of God systematically. What does that mean? A portion every single day. One chapter a day, three chapters a day. Make time to get in the Word. And let the Word of God go through you. And I want to encourage you to get involved in a group. Al has a program that reads the passage to you. I understand with YouVersion, you can get a small group of people together and read the same passage and interact with that passage, and you're interacting with others. Or you might do it old school and just get together for coffee. Or maybe a phone call. Say, hey, what did you read today? Man, this was an exciting passage. Or, man, you know what? I didn't understand a word I read. Can you help me out? But the importance, friends, is to get into the Word. Now, most of you need to follow a recipe when you bake something, right? At least when you were starting out, right? Young couples, some of you have to read instructions. No? You got it all together? You just throw it together? You follow instructions so that the recipe comes out the way it's supposed to come out. A lot of times in life, we hear people, maybe even you do it, you complain, well, God didn't do this and God didn't do that. Well, did you follow his instructions? Well, you know, I cut a few corners. Well, you can't cut corners with God's word. You want to cheat here, you want to cheat there, you want to cut a corner there, you want to cut a corner there. Friends, it's not going to work. God's recipe, God's process is according to his word. And yet we want to bypass that because we want instant success. We want instant. We want it now. We want it here. We want it. Paul talks about the man who, the psalmist talks about the man who is blessed. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his delight he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. Friends, you need to be committed to the word of God. If anything, stick with the word. You have a lot of opinions. And let me warn you. Today you can publish your own books. So you can publish whatever you want to put out there. Be careful when you read books. Be careful who you listen to on YouTube. Be careful who you listen to on the radio or TV. Always make sure it's the word of God that reigns completely. Be careful when somebody says, I heard from the Lord last night. Be careful when somebody says, I had a dream. Come back to what the word of God says. The word of God says it plainly. Let's be men and women of the word. The fourth thing that I want us to see is that we need to be committed to living in the Lord's presence. But isn't that the same as being committed to the Lord? Yes, but there's an aspect here that I want us to understand. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Don't be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord is with you. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, what am I talking about? Committed to being in the Lord's presence. God is intimately knowledgeable of each and every one of us. God is not a distant God. He is our Heavenly Father. He is, as John says, ready and willing and desiring for us to fellowship with Him. He's not somebody who has a security team around him. One of the things I enjoy about being at a church our size is that I know pretty much everybody by name. I don't want to put it to the test today because I might mess up on somebody. But I pretty much know everybody by name, and you know me by name. And I know a little bit more about you, and you know more about me. Why? Because we are intimately connected. You go to a big church and pastor doesn't know everybody. And everybody doesn't know the pastor. Friends, that's not our God. Our God is intimately acquainted with us. And we can have fellowship with him. You know, it was said that they arrested Peter and John. Or they were giving John and Peter a hard time in Acts chapter 14. He says, now, and they were preaching the word of God. They were preaching, you need to believe in Jesus Christ. They were giving the gospel straight down, straight forward. No sugarcoating, no nothing. They were just straight out preaching. And verse 13, it says, now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed. See, these men didn't have a pedigree of being knowledgeable of the word of God. They weren't scribes. They weren't Pharisees. They weren't Sadducees. They weren't these religious leaders. They were simple, everyday people. That's why they considered them untrained and uneducated. Not that they were stupid. Not that they were ignorant. They just were not of the pedigree of those who would be speaking with such confidence. And you know what? All of us fit in that category, don't we? Right? But notice the difference. And began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. That sweet fellowship that we have with the Lord. That's why we understand that we are committed to living in the presence of God. That God is in the room with us, as it were. In fact, the Bible says that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. God is with us wherever we are. I think sometimes we neglect that part, because that's the mystical part. That's the part that we don't talk about that. God's presence is with us. We are in God's presence wherever we go. That should be an encouragement, but it also should be a warning. Wherever we are, God is with us. So even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even though everybody else has walked out on you, God is with me. And I am comforted to know. Remember the story about Mabel a few weeks ago. Why was she comforted? Because she was fellowshipping with her God. 25 years alone. No family, no friends, no visitors at the home. Blind, having a hard time with physical ailments. Yet, she knew her Savior loved her because she was embraced in this relationship with Him. We'll talk more about that in another message. The fifth thought I have for you today is we need to be committed to an active, obedient faith. An active, obedient faith. An active, obedient faith. Because now Joshua comes to the people. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess it. Can you hear the hum and the rumbles of the people gathering stuff, packing up? Can you hear them getting their children together? Can you hear the activity? Can you hear the movement? Can you hear the action? And friends, sometimes I think we need to stop and listen to our own church. Do we hear the rumble of spiritual activity? Do we hear the movement of prayer and of commitment and of encouragement among one another? Or do we hear silence? Like nobody is moving. My brother-in-law came down from Seattle 1 year and stayed with us. And he says, man, you can't go anywhere in your house that the floors don't squeak. I said, well, how do you think we kept the kids, you know? We knew where they were. Do we hear the squeaks of activity? Sometimes ministry is loud and messy, and sometimes it's just full of joy and full of activity. It was humming yesterday with the women, you know, undecorating, taking stuff down, packing stuff up, throwing stuff out, getting rid of the old and just storing it and organizing it. And this is just in a physical realm. But 2020, we need to do it in the spiritual realm also. Of reaching out to our neighborhood, of providing, improving our children's ministry, our outreach to the children in the community, of being a lighthouse here in this community. And what's that going to take? Commitment from each and every one of us to put our hands to the plow and to get busy plowing and turning over the dirt, turning over the soil so we can plant and we can water and we can see God give the increase. We need to be doers of the word, as James tells us. Lately, I've been waking up around 2 or 3 in the morning, sometimes as early as 11:30, thinking it's morning time. I don't know what's going on, other than to know that I just need to pray. God gave me a passage in the morning in the Old Testament, and it was a commitment. It was a call to prayer in the Word. It's a call to prayer in the Word. Friends, we need to pray. We need to be men and women of the Word. And let the Word of God move us into an active, obedient faith. We can't be that statue that stands there that points to Jesus. We've got to be actively involved in leading people to Jesus. As God has gifted us, as God has encouraged us, as God is challenging us, and God is putting us to say, all hands on deck. One of the things that we need to see here in this passage, that even though they had great hope in Moses, even though Moses was dead, the purpose of God was not. Even though Moses was dead, the promise of God was not. Even though Moses is dead, the precepts of God that make you wise were not. Even though Moses was dead, the presence of God goes with his people forever. Friends, the church moves onward. The Bible says, the Lord says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is God's institution here on earth to shed the light, to shine the light, so the darkness will be pushed back. You have been called and you've been selected and you've been placed specifically here that we would put our hands together and we would move forward. And 2020 is that year that we are going to be moving forward. But it's a commitment to the Lord. It's a commitment to the Lord's work. It's a commitment to His Word. It's a commitment to His presence. And it's a commitment to an active, obedient faith. Are you in? Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Word that surpasses all truth because it is truth. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that your word goes forth and that, Father, it would bring about fruit. We pray, Lord, that we would see our community transformed as we enter in, as we get involved, as we make things understandable for people so that they would get to meet you and know you and follow after you, Father. Thank you for the men and women who are so supportive here, so financially, by their presence, and, Father, by their work that they do. Well, we thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you all, and have a blessed day today.